I told you all some months ago that Mark and Marlene pretended to be our friends by taking us to Pinnacles and almost killing us. So yesterday they took us to Big Sur and tried killing us there. And I'm not sure like if I owe them money or something, if I wronged them in another life, but I don't know why y'all keep trying to do this. So I just said to say, actually, I'm a little stiff today. So I'm going to try not to move around so much, because between doing teen camp for a week and then going hiking, I'm just not real bright when it comes to my body. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I just pray that you just fill this place. We know you're already here, Lord. We know that your presence is everywhere. But I pray that you would fill each one of us in a way that we can see and respond and know. Just somehow touch and taste and hear and smell and just all of these things, Father. Help us to better understand you, to better see you, to see and to know how real you really are. That we don't just gather to do this philosophy or this spirituality, but rather we are engaged with a very real God in a very real world, in a very real way. And so I pray that now, by the Holy Spirit, Father, you would make us feel you and know you. Just sanctify each one of us. Speak today, Lord. Fill us with your presence. We need you. We need your restorative powers in all things in our lives. Help us to be your royal priesthood, Father, to reflect your image back into our community, into our world. That our gathering would be so that others would see you and know you. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. We've been preaching through the prophets, which has been fun. I mean, we finished Obadiah. That was cool, right? I mean, so now when a pastor asks you, have you ever heard a sermon out of Obadiah? You'd be like, dude, three of them. We did a whole series, right? So that's cool. So for how many of you was that the first series out of Obadiah? Because it definitely was for me, right? So that's kind of cool. So, okay, today we're going to do Jonah. And everybody knows about Jonah, right? We know all about it. But we're going to be in Jonah for the next couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to start with today. So if you have your Bibles, turn them to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, we should have it on the screen, and that'll be wonderful. And if you would, if you're able, would you please rise to your feet as we read the word of the Lord. Beginning in verse 1, the prophet Jonah writes, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, 'What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps that God will spare us a thought so that we would not perish.' The sailors said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots that we may know who on whose account this calamity has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' 'I am a Hebrew,' he replied. 'I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told him so. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?' For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it's because of me that this great storm has come upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, 'Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So we've probably heard the story, and we all know about Jonah and the whale. And I cannot help but think of the Disney scene from Geppetto and Pinocchio and the cat. Remember that? Like, they're in the belly of, what was the name of the whale? And they got they're cooking a fire, and Pinocchio's like, "What? We need a bigger fire." "Oh, okay, Pinocchio," right? So I know that's how I pictured, and I know that's probably not how it was. But that's not even the point that we're going to go to today, is the whale. I want to talk actually about what Jonah did. And I want to look at something that the Lord kind of revealed to me actually over teen camp and kind of in speaking through some teens this week. But in the scriptures, we've been learning, especially with our youth, and I've shared this with you before, that in the scriptures, whenever you find the word "sea" in there, it's actually really important, because during this time, the sea was the representation of all chaos. We don't know it. It's chaotic. It's scary, right? Like, and it's a natural scariness. Like, for me, one of my biggest fears and nightmares is to be lost at the bottom of the sea, right? Because it's just, you don't know, and it's dark, and it's away, and it seems like there's no sound and no nothing, and it's a scary, chaotic place. And so for this world, the sea was a place of chaos. It represented chaos. In fact, one of the biggest religions during that time, the sea god Tiamat was the god of chaos. And so the sea represents this chaoticness of the world, the chaos that we all know. And we've talked about how the scriptures from the beginning bring chaos to the forefront, and they say chaos is real. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was chaos and emptiness, right? This is what it looked like. God's saying, this is our world until the presence of God came before it. And when you remove the presence of God, we see the chaos. And at the very end in Revelation, it talks about there will be no more sea. And the reason he says that isn't because God hates beaches. He's all about the beaches. Don't worry if you guys love going to the beach and surfing, right? He's not getting rid of that. You get to surf in heaven, I'm pretty sure. But he's not saying I'm getting rid of the sea. He's saying I'm getting rid of the chaos. There's no more chaos. And this chaos is so important to even understanding this part of what Jonah is, or what's happening with Jonah, and how it applies to us today. So in Jonah, even the verses 4 through 5, it says, "The Lord hurled this great wind upon the sea. This mighty storm came upon the sea." So God calls Jonah and says, "Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to this place, and I want you to go preach to these people, to these pagans." And Nineveh is a land that is full of pagans. It goes all the way into Syria. In fact, it's like 500. I think I have a map. Do you have a map up there? I may have. Okay, yeah, we got a map up here. Okay, so Nineveh, if you look right here, here's where he's hanging out, right over here in Jerusalem. He could cruise over here to Nineveh. That's the mission. You cruise up kind of along the river, hang a right. You go east, north, then east, and then Trina would get mad at me. Don't say north and east. I want right and left. Go up and then turn right, and you go to Nineveh. It's about 500 miles, but it's across the Syrian desert. There's a lot of dangers there, right? It's a dangerous place to go, and you want me to go to preach to people that aren't even ours. We don't even like them. They're horrible, horrible people. And you want me to go over there and you want me to go tell them about you? Yeah, that's not what I signed up for. I want you to give me this cush thing to do. I will serve you, God, but this is what it needs to look like. And so he does the only reasonable thing. Instead of getting up and going across the land where God told him to do, to go some 500 miles, instead he says to himself, "I'm going to book passage on a boat and I'm going to go to Tarshish," which is in Spain. And Spain is some 2,500 miles away. I mean, he's going to go farther across the sea he wants to absolutely run from this call that God has for him. And I know we kind of can see where the story is going to go here. Okay, well, Jonah's running from God. He went further from God, and he should have just gone to Nineveh in the first place. It was a shorter route. But I want you to kind of catch this, that he goes 2,500 miles over the sea. And then this is the part that I don't think he recognized, that he decided to travel over the sea, the chaos. He jumped into this unknown. He would rather face that chaos than to go to this other place that God has called him to. And so what happened when he jumped on the ship and decided, "I can do this"? And to be fair to Noah, I think a lot of us would do the same thing, because we all live in the chaos. There's some of you I'm seeing for the first time today. There's some of you I've only known for a little while, some of you I've known forever. And I don't know everybody's story, but I know this one thing about every single one of you because it's true of everybody in the world. You all know about chaos. Your life is filled with chaos. In fact, I know for a fact that your life is so filled with chaos that the vast majority of your time and resources are spent trying to bring some kind of control to the chaos. The chaos of children, oh my goodness, be disciplined, I'm going to make you stand on the wall. The chaos of finances, I need this job, I need that. Is it worth driving anymore? Because gas is like, I could trade out gold for it. Like, I was selling kidneys just so I could go down to the 7 to 11 so I could go get me a soda pop. It's crazy, right? Like, this is what it costs. Like, there's chaos in our world today. Chaos in our relationships. Chaos in our health. Chaos in losing loved ones. Chaos is the one thing you all know. Because everybody knows chaos. But the problem is we've been in it for so long that for most of us, it's just another day in life. Right? We don't even think about the chaos. It's not, we're blind to it. It's like, okay, I want you to imagine. I was in teen camp, and I was in a small room. Oh, my goodness, a closet. And then what they do is they shove as many bunk beds as they can in one room so they can get as much rent out of people as they can when they rent them out, right? So I get this teeny room with no ventilation, no nothing, and I'm stuck in there with seven teenage boys. Now, how many of you moms are thinking, oh, it stinks in there? How many of you can smell that room? Right? Yeah. And here's the sad part. Here's the sad part. I could smell it the first day, but by the end of the week, didn't even notice it. Then got home, and Trina's like, hey, I see babe, showers over there. Take a couple of them, right? Because you get used to it. And this is the truth of our chaos. We get used to the chaos, and so we don't even think about it. So Jonah decides he's going to get on the boat, and he's going to go across chaos, because I know that. I know that chaos. I know that world. And the truth is most of us would rather deal with the chaos because we figured it out. At least we know how to tread the chaos. It's not the greatest, safest thing in the world, but I know that world. And so Jonah says, I'm going to do that because that, even though it's on land, even though it's where God called me, I don't know that. And I don't like that. I don't even like those people. It's like, this is horrible. They're Broncos fans. Is this really what we want in our world? So Jonah gets on the boat and says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. And such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. So Jonah, because Jonah ignores God's call, and this is the part where it's going to apply. So I'm going to let you kind of do the math and figure it out. Jonah has a call from God, do this. Jonah says, I'm going that way. Jonah ignores God, realizing there's probably going to be consequences, but every one of us has done this. God says something, I'm ignoring it because I'm thinking, you know what? It's my life. And if I don't do it, okay, then I'll deal with God, but it's me. It's just me that I'm dealing with. And we've all done that. My life is my business. What I do affects me, so it doesn't matter. I'll make my choices. I know what's coming up. I've weighed the consequences. I'm willing to take the consequences to do this, right? I'm willing to do that. But Jonah's choice to ignore God caused chaos in the lives of other people, of innocent people. These people were not at fault for anything that Jonah did, but his ignorance or his choosing to ignore God caused chaos in the life of other people who had nothing to do with Jonah. When we ignore what God says to us, we may think, you know, it's on me, it's not a big deal, but here's the reality, and you may not even be aware of this. When you ignore that, you bring chaos not just into your life, but you bring chaos into the life of other people who had nothing to do with it, innocent bystanders, so to speak. And the reality is you're not going to even know it probably because Jonah was absolutely oblivious to this. It says Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down in the hold of the ship. He'd lain down. He's fast asleep. People are out there dying. The seas are waking like they're freaking out. Oh, my goodness. But he's fast asleep. And the captain came to him. What are you doing sound asleep? Get up. Call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us so that we do not perish. We are usually so oblivious to the amount of chaos that we cause in the world when we ignore God that we don't even think twice about it. It's not a big deal. And many times we even manipulate the use of the Holy Spirit and use God's name in vain by saying, look, here's how I know if God's calling me by whether I feel comfortable with it or not. I mean, how many have said that? I don't feel at peace with this, so it can't be God. Let me tell you something. God has called me to do many things. None of them brought peace into my life. I had a perfectly good life, contracting company, New Mexico, go hunting on the weekends, fishing when I wanted to. Life was good, and God just stepped in there and ruined it all. Right? And I say that facetiously, obviously. But it means that God calls you to stuff. We need to stop saying, I like it, I fit, because that's what we're actually saying. If the Holy Spirit doesn't agree with me, it can't be God. And listen, we got to be careful about that. And we're oblivious to the amount of chaos that we cost this world when we do that. Because your call from God may not be to pastoring a church. It may not be to children's ministry. And if it is, Lord bless you, because children are... Okay, I'm just kidding, kids. I know you're in here. You're cool. But you all have a call to ministry. We were sharing this morning with the youth that you're called to be the royal priesthood. That means you're a bridge. You're called to be the bridge between God and the rest of the world. Think of those people in your world, every person in your world, those who don't know God, those who do know God, those who hate God, those who are ambiguous about God, all those people you know, you are a bridge between them and God. You have a ministry, you have a call from God that you need to be living into. And when we ignore it, we bring chaos into that world. And they're innocent, it's not even their fault. And that costs us in material things, livelihoods, even lives. And it's not even the direct people. It wasn't just the sailors, to be fair. Have we thought about the poor ship owner whose merchandise isn't going to show up? He doesn't even have insurance. They threw all this cargo overboard. Like, there is all kinds of chaos that's being caused down the line because Jonah ignored God. And yet our naivety of this world around us causes us to think that our choices affect only us, so there's nobody else's business. But you live in a social world. You live in a community. We are communal people, and everything you do affects everyone, whether you know it or not. So we need to open our eyes. We need to, as Paul says, awake from our slumber and see things from the perspective of those who we have inadvertently affected. And start to recognize, hey, I've caused chaos here. I've caused chaos there. And we don't often think about so many of the things because we're so busy protecting our own comforts in life that when the chaos that we have caused or that we're participating in is brought to our attention, we dismiss it as preposterous. That can't even be true. That's not real. Can you imagine Jonah saying, there's nothing out there. I'm laying down here. It feels fine. Bro, go up. You're down here. You can't feel it. Walk up on top. We're dying out there. Man, the cucumber from VeggieTales already fell out. Some of you know what I'm talking about because that's the Jonah story. Zoe's there. I saw that face, right? So, this is happening. We need to notice it. We need to stop writing it off as preposterous because many times, and I've seen this so much over the last couple of years, and it breaks my heart in the Christian church. We're so hung up with what we believe, what we think the world looks like, and we refuse to see anything outside of our precious little world that what I see is so many Christians today lack even the humility of Jonah. We're not even going to go up, pay attention. Shut up. I don't want to hear about it. At least Jonah goes out there and he says, yeah, you're right. I did this. Jonah faces the chaos. He recognizes that it was his actions that caused all the lives of innocent people, even innocent pagan people. And when he recognizes this, he takes action. He says, you need to toss me into the sea. Can you imagine that? You need to throw me in the face of this chaos. We need to face the chaos that's in our lives that we pretend doesn't exist or that we pretend we have managed or figured out. We have to admit that this chaos exists in our life in humility and face the consequences of that chaos. And as soon as Jonah faced that chaos that he was responsible for, notice what happened. The chaos subsided. The sea ceased from its raging. I mean, it stopped. Listen, here's one of the things we're talking about, Tinker Love. We're talking about the importance of confession. When we have chaos in our lives, it has power whether we know it or not. You can ignore it, but that bad boy still got power on you. As soon as you face that chaos, you begin to take the power from it. The more you confess that chaos in your life to others around you, the less power it has. That's why I always share my life and my story, because one of my biggest fears is one of my sins is going to come back and try to destroy what the Lord is doing. So I just keep sharing it with you because then it's got no power. People walk into this church one day, someone's going to come in and say, did you guys know your pastor used to be a drug addict? You're going to be like, well, yeah, let me tell you some cool stories, right? Like, you know, Right? It has no power. Nothing. So we face the chaos to get rid of the power that it has against us. The sea ceases from raging. And then this other amazing thing happens that Jonah didn't even think about. And I wonder if we consider when we read this. Then the pagans who'd worshipped all these other gods, who even called pick any god you want, stopped and worshipped the one true God, Yahweh. Because he faced the chaos because of what he did. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what it is. He just said, I did this. My God's mad at me. He faced the chaos and people watched what he did. And when you face the chaos in your life, when you answer God's call, when you finally turn back to wherever God's calling you, the world's going to notice. And even without realizing, you will become a bridge for so many people to come to God. So many people whose livelihoods are on that chaos, who think they've got it figured out. And then the great thing for us is we have this God of grace and love. You know, being raised the way I was, it's kind of a scales thing, right? If I do enough good, I won't go to hell. If I do more good than bad, and I'm like, yeah, boy, that was a rough weekend. I better, like, show up at church or maybe, like, grab my Bible and pretend that I'm doing something, right? And, like, I don't have to worry about that. As soon as Jonah faced the chaos and he was thrown into the midst of it, the worst thing that could possibly happen, God provided a way for Jonah to escape that chaos as well. To make it through that chaos safely to where God has called him. And there's so many of us who are afraid that the chaos, if I face it and I go into it, I can't make it through it. God will provide. It's not going to be the greatest. It's not going to be easy. God didn't provide this luxury liner. He's like, come on up here, man. We're having barbecues up on the deck and you can just chill out. He's like, I'm put you in the belly of a fish. I should have put the video up there. I encouraged a teen to bite a fish's head this week. Got it on video. So, right? It's a nasty critter. Can you imagine being just in the belly of a fish? It's uncomfortable. It's nasty. Like, I don't know anything else about the situation other than it's not easy to get through it. But you can and you will, because God will provide the way to get through that chaos and to come out on the other side to do what God has called you to do. There are so many countless aspects of our lives which this message applies, from abortion, where we don't understand or believe the chaos that's caused by killing an innocent human being. Or to the systemic racism, where we don't understand or believe that chaos can be caused by a system that protects some of us at the expense of other people. But both of these sins, like so many sins, are caused by the same demon. They are caused when we ignore something that God is telling us. When we decide that God can only serve the things that I'm comfortable with, the things that I like. Let me bring this around a bit too. Michaela and I were blessed to be able to attend our teen camp this year with 9 of our teens. And first off, where's Michaela? I've seen her somewhere. Oh, yeah, Michaela, sorry. First of all, give it up, Michaela, for going to teen camp, right? Give it up. Right? Michaela, we're going to pay you nothing. I'm going to take a life of a week away from you, and I'm going to make you go deal with teenage kids. And Michaela's like, I'm in. I'm like, that's awesome, right? So praise God for that. But we had a wonderful opportunity to take, you know, some youth from our church to go hang out with them for a week and just be a part of what was happening with our teen camp. And the theme at the teen camp this year was reunion, because it's kind of messed up through COVID, and even the last ones they had were kind of like these weird mini camps. You know, every church trying to figure out what it looks like. But it's about realizing also that God calls us all and doesn't give up on us when we blow it. He doesn't give up on us when we start going to Tarshish or when we reject Christ, which is kind of the theme of the week. But one morning, I had a 7 o'clock devotional with 6 of our youth. They're so wonderful to get up early and to meet me at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we were going over this passage in Jonah, actually. So we're going to read this because I'm going to preach about it this weekend, and I don't know where I'm going. And it was during this time that the Lord revealed this message to me. It was during my conversations with our youth. It was this dialogue with these blanket-toting, pajama-wearing, half-asleep, angry-at-the-pastor teenagers that I began to understand this message, right? And it was there that I also realized that we often neglect their call, right? The work that they do, that God calls them to so many things, and so many of us, and we make it easy for people to ignore God's call. And it's one of the reasons that camps aren't so important. It's one of the reasons I even stepped in and said, I'm going to become our youth pastor. Right? I'm not just our senior pastor, but I am the youth pastor, not just till we find someone, but I'm there the minimum of a year because I recognize that there's been a huge gap between pastors and youth pastors where it's like, you guys need to be sharing God's stuff and make sure you bring a lot of youth in there. We don't make it fair to our youth pastors. So you know what? I'm going to walk in those feet for about a year or so with our youth and help kind of create this culture, this DNA of our youth group so that we know what it is. So we have them perfectly integrated into our church the way they're supposed to be, a functioning part of our church. And I'm trying to learn as I go along with it. And it's, you know, I'm learning all kinds of things, and it's going to be difficult for us and messy, but it's what we do. God called me to this, and it's not something that I woke up one day and said, you know, I think I want to be into youth ministry. I love this. I love the adult stuff, and it's not to say that I don't like teens. I really do, actually, and I love that ministry, but that's before I didn't feel called, and now I feel called to that along with this, so I'm going to answer that call, and I'm going to participate in that until the Lord tells me to do otherwise. And each one of us, that God calls us to seasons. Michaela, you know, Michaela's kind of wrestling, you know, I think God might be calling me here or there, and she's trying to see it. And each one of you have different calls that God is calling you to, whether it be in your life, to certain people, to how you're living. But we have a call. It is so important. And one of the places where we can help nurture that call and begin with is with our youth. And our teen camp was so amazing. We're looking forward to next year, to taking more teens next year. In fact, we need a van. We're going to need a van next year. But next year, we have so many things going on, not just teen camp, but next year, we have a once in a, it's a once in a, basically in a child's life, because every 4 years, supposed to be once during the high school years, is the NYC, which is a Nazarene Youth Conference. And something like 20,000 teenagers gathered together in Orlando, in Tampa Bay, Florida, and they're going to worship God for a week. And it's an amazing place to help them to find their call to serve the Lord. And I'm really excited about that and being a part of that. But I want us to also support that. Before we go there, I want to show you what they did at camp so that you can understand what it does. That it is the chaos and the call of God coming together and the unity of the people so we can learn what that looks like. We got a video here?
Yeah. didn't see it there. We'll go to the part of the song called the bass drop. In dubstep, the drop involves a heavy full bass line and commonly a wobble or vowel bass accompanied by a strong shuffling beat. There could be emotional melodies combined with various of common dubstep bass lines.
Crazy what the Lord does in the midst of chaos, isn't it? He just, the worship is so real. It's so amazing what the Lord does. And it's great to see so many people here that God is calling them. And I pray that each one of us, every one of us here would listen to the call that God has for us and respond to that in our lives. We have the opportunity now to help our youth, to invest in them. Next year, I said, is NYC, the Nazarene Youth Conference, and I'm really excited. I mean, Michaela, hoping to take a bunch of teenagers to this, but they're going to be committed to do this. And it's a bit more expensive, of course. But it's going to be in Tampa Bay, and we have a site set up. So we have 8 months to come up with the funds that we need to raise for our children. And if you want, I have some cards in the back also that Augustine will give you. But here's what my thought is. you can go online and you can pledge kind of monthly giving to help raise the funds that we need. We're trying to raise $30,000 so that we can take all of our teens there to camp. You fly to Tampa Bay, it pays for everything. But you take the cards back there, and give this card to your uncles, to whoever. Like, you don't even have to do this. It's a great part of this. You give it to other people. Say, hey, go on here. Just there's the QR code. You can go on there and just set it up, and it'll automatically kind of take care of that, and we can see we're out to meet our goals and get other people to help invest in the kingdom, to invest in our youth, and to let our youth see that they're being invested in. And it's just, it's one of those opportunities. And I know it's, oh, pastor, you're doing a cheesy plug here. Yeah, I kind of am, but you know, it's the perks of being the pastor and the youth pastor. I get to do both. And so, but I want to take this opportunity to come off the heels of youth camp. Tomorrow, we have kids going to kids camp. And the way we invest in them, the way we start to invest in our youth is going to matter, because what I see as a pastor, what I've noticed is the problems that we have in the churches aren't with our youth or with our children, it's with our adults. And so maybe we need to start investing in our children so that they don't have the same problems that we have. Maybe they will grow up to be those who just listen to God's call and go where he takes them. Amen? Let me, I'm going to leave us with that. I think I've already gone longer than I probably should have today. But let's pray. Would you rise to your feet? I want to give you a blessing before we leave. Extend your hands and receive the blessing from the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Friends, go in the peace of the Lord. You're dismissed.